Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Psalm for this last Sunday, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. This is our text. So Sunday we talked about the fact that it seemed odd that Jesus would hinder the disciples' ability to recognize him. And we wondered why that was. I mean, it seems kind of an odd thing to do when you want your disciples to know you. But the thing about it is that Jesus wants us to get to know him as long as we live here on this earth, in a certain way, for our benefit. He speaks. His word is spoken clearly through his servants, through the scriptures and the sacraments, the visible words. And he wants us to know that he is there. Even after he's risen from the dead, he wants us to know that he is active, working there. For that's where he's promised to be. That is where God has always directed his disciples to run when things get tough. Remember, in the middle of all of that, that whole business on the day going down to Emmaus, that he scolded them. And it seems like an odd thing to do. Again, this was a terrible tragedy. The disciples were quite upset as they told Jesus the story. And yet he scolded them as being slow to believe. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There are many ways to describe this. It's kind of like when you write a letter to somebody, when you write a note to somebody, send them a card. You want them to remember what you're thinking about them at that moment, especially during seriously difficult times. You write a person a note, you tell them what you think of them, and that you're there, maybe praying for them, caring for them. Jesus wanted his disciples to regularly go back to the scriptures, to the word. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The point is that when things seem to go wrong, when what we see and feel cause us to doubt and struggle, Jesus wants us to turn to that means that God has promised to use to work to bless us, to strengthen us, to sustain us. The psalmist for this past Sunday gives us this wonderful psalm, Psalm 116, which sings about the Lord who does what he promises. And we'll take that up in a second, but just remember that verse you learned from your catechism, Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The psalmist begins this psalm for this evening with the words, literally, I love because he has heard my voice. He doesn't even say, I love the Lord. Literally, in the Hebrew, he says, I love. And of course, there's a lot to be said about that, but we're not going to stop there. First of all, we're going to take up the notion that many people today, especially during this pandemic, are talking about prayer. And maybe you've even noticed at times that it seems to bother me a little bit because people talk about prayer as being the thing to do, when you're in trouble. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it's a perfectly good thing. And God teaches us how to pray in the Psalms, among other places. But a lot of times, what we do is we talk a lot, we chatter, we keep running over and over again the things that are worrying us, bothering us, but we don't listen. Prayer is a conversation, and God wants us to listen. God commands us to call upon him when things get rough. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. However, when things go wrong and get difficult or even dangerous, like the psalmist talks about, he was afraid of dying, we are tempted to believe that prayer is something more akin to an incantation or some sort of magic word. When we pray, things should and will change, unless perhaps God doesn't care, or maybe God doesn't even exist. Maybe we're praying into the air. Imagine how many struggles this old world has been through. Imagine how many different kinds of diseases have afflicted people. How many men in battle struggled, prayed? How many mothers waiting to hear from their children who went to battle, waiting to hear that they're safe, looking forward to see them come home? And when things go terribly wrong, as it has for at least 60,000 people or so in the midst of this pandemic in our country, what does God say? What does God say? We can pray to him for hours upon hours upon hours. We can unburden our hearts, and that's not a bad thing in and of itself. But Jesus reminds us that it's not the number of our words that make the prayer. He even warns us to beware that we don't think that by our long, long soliloquies, long prayers, and so on, we will get his attention better than a simple prayer, like Luther says in the Catechism. When we see something terrible and all we can do is gasp, "O God." But God's word is the key. What does God say in response to our prayer? What are his answers? We often get caught up in our own machinations and talking. We've heard people say, you know, "Well, I've been praying as if something should have happened." And that's kind of what was going on the Emmaus Road this last Sunday. They were talking about the things that had happened. And Jesus says, "Well, what things?" Now, he doesn't have a long discussion. He doesn't do therapy with them. He doesn't ask them how they're feeling about all of this. He actually goes directly to, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He said, "Look, here's where you will find comfort, abiding comfort. They are words, living words, words that preach me." The psalm that we take up today says that God does answer our prayers. It makes it very clear. And like the gospel lesson, the word is the place where we find the answer. So while we might be praying extra hard at this time, while we might be overwhelmed or lonely, God invites us to listen for an answer. His word is living and active, and it proclaims to us the answers that the Lord has written down, inscribed for us. Even in the midst of death and enemies of all sorts, even in the midst of this pandemic, the psalmist makes clear that the Lord did answer him. He makes this beautiful statement, a number of them. And when you're reading the text of Scripture, one of the things that you want to do is pay attention to who's doing the work. Who's doing the work? I was reading Clement Preuss's book, The Fire and the Staff. It's a great book. If you want something to read, that might be a book to buy from Amazon and read it. It's lovely. But I'm taking a lot of time to read through it. I'm reading it very slowly. And he reminds us that the premise of what's going on a Sunday morning, the premise of what's going on in the midst of our relationship with God, the thing that is at the heart of it is God is working and we are passive. It's not our chatter that's the most important thing. It's God speaks. And so the psalmist makes it clear. He's going in the midst of this, and he said, I love because the Lord has heard my voice. I laid out all of these things, and how do I know that he answered me? How do I know that he's heard me? Because he gets right to the heart of what's on my heart, the burdens I'm bearing. He reminds me that I'm never alone. And then the psalmist says it this way, the Lord preserves the simple. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a seminary educated person to be blessed as you open God's word. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, this is late night. We waited till the rain stopped before we came over here. And so I can't go through all of those words, but they would be a great sermon in and of themselves. The Lord preserves the simple, saves us, deals bountifully or has dealt bountifully with us, delivered our soul from death, our eyes from tears, our feet from falling. This is what the word tells us when it preaches Christ to us, because Christ is at the center of all of that. He preserves the simple. That is the good shepherd who we will hear about this coming Sunday. He preserves us with his words, with his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He saves us. Jesus went to the cross and died for us. He rescued us. He paid our debt. He has dealt bountifully with us. What does that mean? We, who owed him a debt we could never pay, has given us that payment for the debt and more. He has made us his children. He's adopted us. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. My ears are open to your cry. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. He has delivered our soul from death, tears, my feet from falling. Those all remind us of how good the Lord is. You see, when you go back to the scriptures, you hear these words like the psalmist just lays out here in these couple verses. And you're reminded of who you are and what you are and what God's doing for you. It preaches Christ to us, the promises that keep us as we carry our burdens, walk through dangers. The Lord makes clear that in the midst of trouble, He says this. Doesn't make sense. But it makes perfect sense in God's world. In the middle of that, in verse 7, it says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." A rest is that place where God is working, where he has promised to be working. That is where we find our rest. And what we tend to do as we live in this world is when things go wrong, when we're threatened, we can spend the whole night spinning, worried about how we're going to handle these troubles. How are we going to get out of this mess that we're in? And the psalmist says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Return to your rest. That's what he's doing with the disciples. He turns their eyes to Moses and the prophets, but clearly to him. That's what he says in the text, in the gospel lesson. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, the rest. Christ is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And because we are children, because we are sheep, because we are Christ's, we now rest. And that's what has been happening before Christ and after. We rest. He is present. And through the word and the sacraments, he establishes us and settles us. Again, Isaiah chapter 26 says, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Return to our rest. That is what we need, no matter what the circumstances are. We return to our rest. We find rest in the words and promises of God to us and about us. We have been redeemed and are now his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And he will continue to shape and form us as he leads us forward along the path as our good shepherd. And then the psalmist says this beautiful thing. This reminds us, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Isn't that beautiful? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He will bring me home. And in the meantime, I come to church. I open my scriptures. I pray with the church. He welcomes me because of Christ. He is present and accessible to me. We heard it in Romans 5 during Lent. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." What shall I render to the Lord, the psalmist says? What shall I render to him? Receive his gifts. "I will take up the cup of salvation." Many people like to see in this the supper, and I think that's true. The supper is there, as well as every glass of wine that was offered during a sacrifice before Christ came. "I will take up the cup of salvation. I believe that the lamb that was sacrificed in my place is my lamb, my riches, my salvation, my hope. And I receive this. I eat it. I drink it. It's mine. Confessing that this one is for me. That I know that I know God as he desires to be known. A God who is merciful, gracious, and humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who rescues and saves sinners. I will give the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to the God of all mercy and grace. I will confess your love and mercy in the midst of the people, and there you will bless me. Not because of what I offer." No, it's not my prayers and my praise that get me something. But the heart of a new creature, the heart of the Christian, the heart of the bride, when she receives from the bridegroom his gifts, when she reminds and whispers into her ears that the gifts are there, to keep her steadfast and strong and safe. She can't help but sing his praise and give thanks to God for him. We regularly, no matter what the circumstances, come and we rest and give thanks. For there God does more than we can think or imagine. In this text, we find that the Lord directs us back to the Word, where prayers are answered and saints are sanctified, where we can stand amidst even the worst that this world, the devil, and our sinful flesh can deal out and still be safe, stand safe in the love and mercy of God for us this night. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.